From 1 Samuel chapter 31, beginning verse 1, hear now these words. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines, and many fell on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchiah, the sons of Saul. The battle pressed hard upon Saul. The archers found him, and he was badly wounded by them. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword, and thrust me through it, so these uncircumcised may not come and thrust me through and make sport of me." But his armor-bearer was unwilling, for he was terrified. So Saul took his own sword and fell upon it. When armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul and his three sons, his armor-bearer, and all his men died together on that same day. When the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley, and those beyond Jordan saw the men of Israel have fled, and Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their towns and fled, and the Philistines came and occupied them. The next day, when the Philistines came and stripped the dead, they found Saul and his three sons falling on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head, stripped off his armor, and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the houses of their idols and to their people. They built his armor in the temple of Ashart, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. But when the inhabitants of Jabesheth heard the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men set out, traveled all night long, and took the body of Saul and the body of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. They came to Jabesh and buried them there. Then they took their bones and buried them under the Tarshish tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. My friends, the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. This morning's sermon is called King Saul, a Tragic Ending. King Saul, a Tragic Ending. Now, if you look at your scriptures, there are certain individuals, when you read the end of their life, and you feel bad for them. Now, in the New Testament, we probably think of Judas Iscariot, who on Good Friday realized he had made a terrible mistake and tried to undo it and realized the hard way that sometimes decisions have consequences, and when you set those wheels in motion, they take off and you can't stop it. Here in our Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, we have a tragic ending to a man who started off so great. And I want to take a few moments to kind of refresh our memories, just how it first started. When the people went to Samuel and said, "Samuel, we want a king to be like everyone else." And Samuel was disappointed and talked to the Lord about it. And the Lord says, "Samuel, don't be upset. They haven't rejected you. They rejected me. They don't want me to be their king." And so the Lord sent Samuel out, and he meets this guy who's out looking for his father's 10 lost donkeys. That'd be like here in McMinn County, somebody's lost their dairy cows, right? And they're out trying to find them. And the Lord says, "There's the next king." And so Samuel gives Saul instructions, anoints him as king. And remember that scripture is talking about how the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul and gave him a new heart. And then when it came time to coronate Saul, where did he go to? Saul was so scared, he was hiding in the baggage area. No, this is the farm kid. They brought him out, and he was head and shoulders taller than everyone else. And everyone rejoiced, except for the few rascals who said, "Well, this guy won't do us any good." And then, just a few verses later, it talks about how this tribe had threatened a town in the land of Israel. They threatened to come in and cut out their right eye, and there was weeping and mourning, and Saul was out there with his oxen. And I said, that'd be kind of like being in the White House, and there's the president on his lawnmower. And King Saul said, "What's going on? What are you weeping for?" "Oh, king, this tribe is going to come across the river and attack our town and cut the right eye of every man in our town." And the scripture said that Saul became angry, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him. And he sent messengers to the 12 tribes, saying, I want representatives from all 12 tribes to come to fight for Saul and Samuel. And they went into battle, and that day the Lord gave them a great victory. And after the battle is over, some of Saul's allies says, we're those guys who's making fun of you. We're going to kill them. And Saul said, no, don't do that. The Lord has given us this victory. No one will die today. And so it was almost like a second coronation where people were rejoicing and being glad. For it was obvious that the Spirit of the Lord was mighty upon Samuel and King Saul. But then, as the years went by, Saul got a little confused. Instead of being that humble man who depended on the Lord, he started doing things his own way. Doing it my way. And time again, you see where Saul would either disobey or more often than not partially obey what the Lord said and get himself in trouble. On one occasion, Samuel said, got the army together, I'll show up, make the sacrifice, send you into battle, the Lord give you the victory. And so there's Saul, the army, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And folks are getting scared and slipping off in the middle of the night. And instead of doing what that psalm says about waiting on the Lord, Saul says, well, we can't wait any longer. I'll do it myself. And you know how that is. When you think you can't wait any longer and take things in your own hands, that's always right before victory would come. Because no sinner had fought Saul finished offering the sacrifice. Samuel shows up. Saul, what are you doing? You're the king. I'm the priest. I'm supposed to be doing the sacrifice. Well, Samuel, the people were leaving, and I got scared. I thought I had to do something. Saul is better to obey than make sacrifice. You got to learn to obey the Lord, not do this sort of stuff. And then on another occasion, Samuel came to Saul and said, Saul, the Lord has declared judgment against this certain tribe. Go in there, wipe them out, especially that king. That king must die. They've been wicked, evil, and violent. The Lord's had enough. Judgment's coming. Wipe them out, and don't take anything out of that village. We're not here to go shopping. We're here to deliver judgment. It must be clear. And this is what the Saul do. They go in the battle, and they walk out with all the sheep and the cattle and such. And Saul takes the king prisoner. And on the way, he thought he'd give him for a ransom or something. And then come along Samuel. Saul, have you done what the Lord has said? Oh, yes, sir, Samuel, I've done it all. I've done it all. How come I hear sheep baying and cows moving? Oh, well, you know, we thought we'd keep some of the offer of sacrifice. That isn't what I said. What about the king? Oh, I got him in my backyard here, took him prisoner of war. Saul, because you will disobey the Lord once again, he is going to take your kingdom away from you and give to a man after his own heart. And you recall how Samuel turned to walk away. Saul grabbed his cloak and then ripped off. And Samuel turned around and said, Saul, just as you ripped that cloak off of me, the Lord has ripped the kingdom from your hand. And then Samuel, remember he's an old man at this point, he asked the soldiers, where's the king at? Bring him to me. And so they bring that king up, and the king thought, well, nothing can happen now, I'm safe, right? And Samuel says, King, just as your sword has made many women childless, now your mother shall be childless. And Samuel took the sword and killed that king right then and there. God's judgment was falling upon the kings, both the pagan kings and King Saul. And then we get to the famous story where the Philistines are out challenging the people of Israel. And you got Jonathan there watching Saul's son. And Saul's kind of pacing back and forth, doesn't know what to do. And at this point, Jonathan has been proven to be a better leader than Saul. And a big old guy comes out every morning. I'll make a deal with you. You send me your best warrior, and I'll fight him. And we'll sew this down here. And then into that, a little shepherd boy named David shows up, playing gopher. He's there to bring lunch. He goes to King Saul, hey, King, I'll take on this guy. Let me have him. Boy, that guy's a warrior. He's been trained this way. You're just a little shepherd kid. You're going to get yourself killed. Hey, King, I got this. When I was taking care of the sheep, a lion came after me, and I took him down. Another time, a bear came after my sheep. I took him down. I'm 2 for 2. When I get out of this giant, I'm going to be 3 for 3. Lions and bears and giants, oh my, they're going down. Every time the Lord came to my rescue. And Saul says, well, kid, if you want to do that, here, you better build this helmet, and build this armor, and build this sword. And King, I can't use this, man. This is too heavy. See, I'm moving my feet. I got to be fast. And so can you imagine the look on Saul's face when this little shepherd boy comes out to take on this giant and everybody's thinking, oh, this isn't going to be good. This is going to be bad. And old Goliath says, boy, what do you think you're doing? I'm going to pin you to the ground. Do you think I'm some old stray dog you chase off of the stick? And but what did David say? You come to me with a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, whom you have defied. And the old Goliath charged, and David reached in, and whoosh, whoosh, bullseye, knocks him down to the ground. David's 3 for 3. And then David gets hired on to be King Saul's musician. He would come in, and he would sing what we now call the Psalms, every time that some demonic spirit was giving Saul a hard time. And then David became a great warrior. And that got him in trouble with Saul. There's a song that came out that said, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. And Saul became increasingly jealous of David. And the sad part was that Saul's son, Jonathan, loved David. And he gave David a sword and a shield and a belt and his royal robe. And he was the one probably who taught David how to use that sword. And he loved David. But the jealousy was so great that twice at the dinner table, old Saul tried to pin David with his spear. And then on another occasion, you may recall where they're having dinner and Saul says, Jonathan, where's David at? And David said, Jonathan said, he went to Bethlehem to visit his relatives. And Saul says something, and John said, Dad, why are you so hard against David? He's never done anything wrong to you. And Saul got so angry that he tried to pin Jonathan, his own son, to the wall. And from that day forward, David was an outlaw. And then Saul spent years chasing David and his men, and I call those the Robin Hood years, to the woods and the forest, trying to find him. And on two different occasions, David had the opportunity to kill King Saul. The one we read about was where they snuck in that night and grabbed Saul's water jar. That'd be like you broke my house, right, and got this by my bed and grabbed his spear and took off. But see, David, though, would not kill King Saul. He said, this is the Lord's anointed. And he either has to die by old age, the Lord's got to strike him down, or he has to die in battle. I cannot kill him. And then we get to that very sad story to where the Philistines are getting ready to march against the Israelites. And Saul's scared. He doesn't know what to do. And when you get scared, you get desperate. And when you get desperate, you get stupid. And what does Saul do? He and his two buddies, they disguise themselves one night and go visit the witch of Endor. They resort to black magic. In our society, that'd be like the same as using the Ouija board or calling up a psychic. And they go in or kind of disguise, and it sounds like a clandestine drug deal. We're looking for the Witch of Endor, call someone up. Oh, gentlemen, you know I can't do that. King Saul chased all the witches out. As the Lord lives, King Saul won't harm you. And she starts her black magic. And I believe that she got surprised because the scripture says she screamed. And I think the reason she screamed because the Lord intervened and the real prophet Samuel showed up. Not some fake demonic counterfeit. And the reason I think that is because when people go to psychics and Ouija board, they get told things they want to be told, what they want to hear. Samuel shows up, and he doesn't miss a beat. Saul, why hast thou disturbed me? Well, Samuel, I need some advice. The Lord won't tell me anything. The Lord won't tell you anything, Saul, because you disobeyed him, and he has rejected you. Well, Samuel, I need some help. What am I supposed to do? Saul, there's nothing you can do. Tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. You'll be dead. And when Saul heard that, he passed out and fell on the floor. And that poor witch, bless her heart, she said, "Now, King, you need to eat something, though. No, you need to eat. No, you look weak." Now, judgment was about to fall upon King Saul. And Samuel said also that the hand of the Lord is going to give the people of Israel to the hands of the Philistines. And so with that in mind, we come to chapter 31, this last chapter in our book, 1 Samuel. I talk about the great battle, and the Philistines are winning left and right. And Saul's three sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Michal, are killed in battle. And I really hate that Jonathan got killed, because I mentioned my sermon I did on the roof. Jonathan was a great guy. He loved David. He loved the Lord. And a man called on one occasion, he went to the woods, found David, and said, and Jonathan encouraged David in the Lord. You know, this is a very spiritual person. And he told David, "David, I will see you as king, and I'll be your right-hand man." And now, because of the foolishness of his father, Jonathan's dead. And then it says, the battle pressed hard upon Saul, and the archers found him and was badly wounded by them. No. In other words, the archers realize, there he is, there's Saul. And they all turn and whoosh. And Saul is getting hit left and right by all these arrows. You know, it's one thing to defend yourself against one arrow, but when a bunch of archers are aiming at you, hitting those arrows at you, it's hard to do that. And so he's badly wounded. So Saul says to his armor bearer, "Hey, do me a favor, draw a sword through me and kill me so the enemy won't make fun of me." But his armor bearer was unwilling, and he was terrified. And says, so Saul took his own sword and fell upon it. Now, what Larry learned is actually more to the story than just this. And then later on, when the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he took his life as well. And so Saul and his three men, his three sons, the armor bearer, and all his men died together on that same day. When the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those beyond the Jordan saw the men of Israel have fled, and Saul and his sons are dead, they forsook their towns and fled, and the Philistines came and occupied them. In other words, it was a complete rout. When word got out that Saul was dead, that Jonathan's dead, their two sons are dead, people lost hope. They got scared, and they just took off and ran. And when they were running, the Philistines came behind and took over these villages. And then the next day, the Philistines came to strip the dead, and they found Saul and his sons. And what did? They cut off his head. They took his armor, sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the houses of their idols and to the people. And they built the armor up in the temple of Ashtar. That's one of their false gods. And fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Sad, isn't it, to think that you went from being that great king who led people in victory to now in death. Your armor is inside a pagan temple with an idol, and your body is hung outside the wall for the whole world to see. But I take hope in verse 11 about God's grace and mercy. But when the inhabitants of Jabesh heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men set out, traveled all night long, and they took the body of Saul and the body of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. They came to Jabesh and burned them there. And then they took their bones and buried them under the Tamarsh tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Even though Saul had messed up so badly, there were just something where the brave men says, "We can't have this. We got to go and get his body off that wall." And he and his three sons, especially Jonathan, because they deserve to be buried, not be out here mocked at. And so these brave men went behind enemy lines to the outskirts of that town, to that wall, in the middle of the night, took the bodies down and took them back home, cremated them, and burned them. You know, that says a lot about your men, how devoted they are, that they're willing to risk their lives to make sure you have a proper burial. And when we get to 2 Samuel chapter 1, it talks about how David hears about what happened with King Saul. And this one guy tells him, says, "Oh," said, "I was there and I helped kill him." He says, "So I stood over him and killed him, for I knew he would not live after he had fallen. I took the crown that was on his head and the armor that was on his arm, and I brought them to hear my Lord." Okay. And he thought he did them a big favor. But David said, "Were you not afraid to lift your hand and destroy the Lord's anointed? Come here and strike him down. Your blood be on your head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointed.'" And then David, of all people, had the right to be dancing and rejoicing that Saul had died. But instead, he writes a song. Listen to these lyrics. "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon the high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, where the daughters of Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exalt. You mountains of Gilboa, there be no dew or rain upon you, nor mountainous fields. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul anointed with the oil no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson and luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Great beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of a woman. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perish." And you see where David just pours his heart out for the Lord, and thinks about those early years when he used to work for King Saul and sing to him and go in the battle and fight for him, and then knowing that his best friend, Jonathan, had been killed in battle. Now, what about us? Where are we in our lives? Are we being like King Saul and we're starting off on a great start? We got saved and we were here. And then as time goes by, we're kind of drifting into partial obedience and then disobedience and lying about it. Maybe some like jealousy and anger in our lives. And then little by little, we find ourselves drifting away. And you look at Saul, he started way over here, anointed by the prophet Samuel, asking for God's wisdom. And the night before he died, he's way down here talking to the witch of Endor, resorting to black magic. And then the next day he dies. You know, that didn't happen overnight. And I encourage all of you to look at your life, say, Lord, is there anything in my life that's causing static? This is something I need to work out. Because I don't want to do this. I want to do this. I want to grow in grace. I want to become a more godly person as the years go by. I don't want folks to say, well, he used to be like this, and now he's like that. I want to be in a position to say, I used to be like this, and by God's grace, I'm now here. I've grown in his grace. King Saul, known by the Lord, won great victories at the very beginning. And then at the end of his life, he was resorting to talking to a witch of Endor for guidance, was killed, fell in the hands of his enemies. And then by God's grace and the courage of his men, he was given a proper burial. And David sang a beautiful song in his memory. Now, let's not live a life like that. Let's live a life where we start off strong and we end strong. That we cross that finish line with pride. And be like Paul. I fought the good fight. I ran a good race. I kept the faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.